Now in animation, a figure appears. Mickey Mouse, wearing his red sorcerer's robe and tall blue pointed hat, stands with his left arm extended. A star shoots up from his palm, writing a signature and the logo, Walt Disney Classics.
Now, a chubby white rabbit holds a trumpet to his lips. He wears spectacles, a ruffled collar, and a bib with a red heart on it. Titles appear. Walt Disney presents... Alice in Wonderland. More titles. An adaptation of Lewis Carroll's The Adventures of Alice in Wonderland and Through the Looking Glass, with the talents of Ed Wynn, Richard Hayden, Sterling Holloway, Jerry Colonna, Verna Felton, Pat O'Malley, Bill Thompson, Heather Angel, and introducing Catherine Beaumont. Musical score by Oliver Wallace.
Where do stars go? Where is the crescent moon?
Story by Winston Hibbler, Ted Sears, Bill Peet, Erdman Penner, Joe Rinaldi, Milt Banta, Bill Cottrell, Dick Kelsey, Joe Grant, Dick Humor, Del Connell, Tom Oreb, and John Walbridge. Directing animators, Milt Kahl, Ward Kimball, Frank Thomas, Eric Larson, John Lounsbury, Ollie Johnston, Wolfgang Reitherman, Mark Davis, Les Clark, and Norm Ferguson. Directors, Clyde Geronimi, Hamilton Lusk, and Wilfred Jackson. Production supervision by Ben Sharpstein. Now we see a park with a blue pond and drooping willow trees. In a meadow sprinkled with daisies, yellow butterflies and bees flit from flower to flower. At the foot of a tree, a young woman in a blue dress reads a history book.
Wanted leaders, and had been of late much accustomed to usurpation and conquest. Edwin and Morcar, the earls of Mercia and Northumbria, declared for him. And even Stigand, Alice.
I'm listening.
And even Stigand...
Sitting on a branch above her sister, Alice makes a crown of daisies and puts it on her cat's head.
Offer him the crown. William's...
The cat drops the crown on Alice's sister.
Alice, will you kindly pay attention to your history lesson?
I'm sorry, but how can one possibly pay attention to a book with no pictures in it?
My dear child, there are a great many good books in this world without pictures.
In this world, perhaps. But in my world, the books will be nothing but pictures.
Your world? What nonsense. Now.
Nonsense.
Once more, from the beginning.
That's it, Dinah. If I had a world of my own, everything would be nonsense. Nothing would be what it is, because everything would be what it isn't. And contrariwise, what it is, it wouldn't be. And what it wouldn't be, it would. You see? Ow! In my world, you wouldn't say, meow. You'd say, yes, Miss Alice. Oh. Oh, but you would. You'd be just like people, Dinah. And all the other animals, too. Why, in my world, cats and rabbits would reside in fancy little houses and be dressed in shoes and hats and trousers.
Alice has golden blonde hair and wears a blue dress. She sits with Dinah in a field of daisies.
All the flowers would have very extra special powers. They would sit and talk to me for hours when I'm lonely in a world of my own. There'd be new bands, lots of nice and friendly howdy-do birds. Everyone would have a dozen bluebirds.
A bluebird flies past, washes itself by a waterfall, and shakes its feathers dry.
I could listen to a babbling brook and hear a song that I could understand. I keep wishing it could be that way, because my world would be a wonder.
white rabbit in a little suit and tie hops from stone to stone across a nearby stream. Dinah sees him and paws at Alice's dress.
Oh, Dinah. It's just a rabbit with a waistcoat and a watch.
Oh, my fur and whiskers. A mate.
Now, this is curious. What could a rabbit possibly be late for? Please, sir.
I'm late for a very important date. No time to say hello. Goodbye, I'm late.
It must be awfully important, like a party or something. Mr. Rabbit, wait!
No. I'm overdue. I'm really in a stew. No time to say goodbye. Hello, I'm late.
He scoots down a rabbit hole and disappears.
What a peculiar place to have a party.
Oh.
You know, Dinah, we really shouldn't be doing this.
She crawls inside.
After all, we haven't been invited, and curiosity often leads to trouble.
She tumbles down a deep, dark abyss.
Goodbye, Dinah. Goodbye.
Dinah waves her paw. Alice floats down. Her dress puffs out like a parachute.
Well, after this, I shall think nothing of falling downstairs.
Her wide blue eyes shine in the darkness. She reaches for a lamp as it floats by. Alice turns it on and sees all kinds of furniture drifting above her. Lights change her dress, smock, and stockings from red to yellow to green. She grabs a book from a passing table, reads it with a smile, then passes a grandfather clock with a swinging pendulum.
Oh.
She lands in a rocking chair and leans back. The chair swings forward.
Oh.
Alice falls out.
Goodness. What if I should fall right through the center of... And come out the other side where people walk upside down. Oh, but that's silly. Nobody...
Her feet catch on a window railing. Hanging upside down, she sees the white rabbit running down a hallway.
Oh, Mr. Rabbit! Wait! Please!
She runs down the checkered, crazy curved hall. She hurries to a blue door and opens it. Inside, she finds another door, and another, and another, and another. Finally, she crawls through the smallest door into a huge room with slanted walls.
Curiouser and curiouser.
The next door has a face. Alice turns its knobby nose.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
It's quite all right. But you did give me quite a turn.
You see, I was following...
It's rather good, what? Doorknob turn?
Please, sir.
Well, one good turn deserves another. What can I do for you?
Well, I'm looking for a white rabbit, so if you don't mind...
Eh?
She peeks through his mouth.
There he is! I simply must get through!
Sorry, you're much too big. Simply impassable.
You mean impossible?
No, impassable. Nothing's impossible. Why don't you try the bottle on the table?
Table?
A table spins out of nowhere.
Oh!
Read the directions, and directly you'll be directed in the right direction.
Drink me. Better look first. For if one drinks much from a bottle marked poison, it's almost certain to disagree with one sooner or later.
Beg your pardon?
I was just giving myself some good advice. But...
She sips from the bottle marked drink me.
Tastes like cherry tart.
She shrinks 2 feet.
Custard. Pineapple. Roast turkey. Good.
Now she's 2 inches tall.
What did I do?
You almost went out like a candle.
But look, I'm just the right size.
Oh, no use. I forgot to tell you. I'm locked.
Oh, no.
But of course, you've got the key, so...
What key?
Now, don't tell me you left it up there.
Oh, dear.
Alice tries to climb the giant glass table with the key on top, but slips and slides down to the floor.
Whatever will I do?
Try the box, naturally.
A gold box filled with tiny cookies.
Eat me. All right. But goodness knows what this will do. Whoa, whoa!
She grows as big as a tree. Her foot smooshes the doorman's mouth.
What did you say?
I said, a little of that went a long way.
Well, I don't think it's so funny. No, I should never get home.
Oh, come now. Crying won't help.
I know, but I just got...
Alice's tears fall in a giant rainstorm.
Hey, this won't do.
Quickly, the floor becomes an ocean of tear water. Waves splash against the doorman, who spits them out.
You up there! Stop! Stop, I say! Oh, look! The bottle! The bottle!
The tiny bottle starts floating away. Alice takes a sip from it, shrinks back down, falls inside the bottle, and bobs along on the ocean of tears.
Oh, dear. I do wish I hadn't cried so much.
She floats through the doorman's mouth to a stormy sea with a dark gray sky. A big fat dodo bird drifts by, smoking a pipe. He uses a toucan for a boat. Another bird flies behind him, pushing him with his beak.
Oh, a sailor's life is life for me, Tiddlyum. Dum-dum-dee, and I never know. Ahoy! Another nautical expression. Land ho, by Jove!
Where am I, Dodo?
Dodo?
3 points to starboard. Pull away, me hearties. Have you in port no time at all now? Oh, you
know. Dodo?
When the bottle looks clean, we'll all be...
Please help me!
A log floats by with a pelican, an owl, and a parrot.
Pardon me, but would you mind helping me? Please?
A row of lobsters paddles with their claws.
Help me, please!
A wave fills Alice's bottle with water.
Help me!
On a beach, the birds, lobsters, fish, and starfish dance a circle around the dodo.
Come and join the chase!
A monster could be drier than a jolly caucus race. A backward, forward, upward, inward, bottom to the top. Never a beginning, there can never be a stop.
A huge wave hits. The dodo, standing on a tall rock, stays dry. Everyone else is soaked, but they keep dancing. The next wave throws Alice onto the beach. The animals dance over her head.
Than a jolly caucus race. A backward... I see! You'll never get dry that way.
Get dry?
Have to run with the others. First rule of a caucus race, you know.
But how can I...
That's better. Have you dry in no time now?
No one can ever get dry this way.
Nonsense! Why, I'm as dry as a bone already.
Yes, but...
All right, chaps, let's have it now. Look lively.
The rabbit washes ashore in his umbrella.
White rabbit? Mr. Rabbit? Mr. Rabbit?
Oh, my goodness! I'm late!
Oh, don't go away! I'll be right back!
I'm late!
All right, watch it there. Stop kicking that mackerel.
Alice runs off the beach and follows the rabbit into a dark forest.
Mr. Rabbit? Oh, Mr. Rabbit! Oh, dear. I'm sure he came this way. Do you suppose he could be hiding?
Two fat twin boys with grumpy faces skip behind her.
Not here. I wonder.
Alice crawls through a hollow log. The twins, who have blue bow ties, red hair, and beanies with flags, hop over the log. Alice comes out under their chubby red bellies.
No. I suppose he must have... Why, what peculiar little figures.
She reads their collars.
Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
If you think we're waxworks, you ought to pay, you know. Contrary to what, if you think we're alive, you ought to speak to us.
They go dancing across the log, honking each time they bump bellies and bouncing off each other's bottoms.
That's logic.
Well, it's been nice meeting you. Goodbye.
You're beginning backwards. Aye, the first thing in a visit is to say, how do you do? And shake hands, shake hands, shake hands. How do you do? And shake hands, and state your name a bit. That's manners.
Really? Well, my name is Alice, and I'm following White Rabbit, so...
Oh, you can't go yet. No, the visit has just started.
I'm very sorry.
Would you like to play hide and seek? Oh, button. Who's got the button?
No, thank you.
If you stay long enough, we might have a battle.
Jumping, they bonk each other on the head.
That's very kind of you, but I must be going.
Why?
Because I'm following a White Rabbit.
Why?
Well... I'm curious to know where he's going.
Oh, she's curious.
The oysters were curious too, weren't they?
Aye. And you remember what happened to them.
Poor things.
Why? What did happen to the oysters?
Oh, you wouldn't be interested.
But I am.
Oh, no, you're in much too much of a hurry.
Well, perhaps I could spare a little time.
You could? Where?
They sit her down on a log.
The Walrus and the Carpenter. Or the Story of the Curious Oysters.
Tweedledee pokes Tweedledum in the belly. Dum sends him flying away with a bump.
The sun was shining on the sea, shining with all its might. He did his very best to make the billows smooth and bright. And this was all because it was the middle of the night.
Their faces become a sun and moon shining on a beach where a fat walrus with a droopy mustache walks with a skinny red-haired carpenter.
The walrus and the carpenter were walking close at hand. The beach was wide from side to side, but much too full of sand. Mr. Walrus, said the carpenter, my brain begins to perk. We'll sweep this clear in half a year. If you don't mind the work.
Work?
The walrus chokes on his cigar.
The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of other things. Of shoes and ships and sealing wax and cabbages and kings. And why the sea is boiling hot and whether pigs have wings. Calloo, callay, no work today. We're cabbages and kings.
He throws the carpenter into a sandbank. The carpenter's head sticks underwater where he sees a family of oysters hiding in their shells. He whistles for the walrus, rubbing his tummy and licking his chops. As he starts to dive in, the walrus grabs him with his cane and raps him on the head. Still smoking his cigar, the walrus waddles into the sea. Underwater, the baby oysters and their mother peek out at him, then close their shells. The walrus knocks on them politely.
Oysters, come and walk with us. The day is warm and bright. A pleasant walk, a pleasant talk would be a sheer delight.
Yes, and should we get hungry on the way, we'll stop and have a bite.
The walrus slaps the carpenter silly.
But Mother Oyster winked her eye and shook her heavy head. She knew too well this was no time to leave her oyster bed.
The sea is nice. Take my advice and stay right here.
Mum said.
Yes, yes, of course, of course. But the time has come, my little friends, to talk of other things. Of shoes and ships and sealing wax. Cabbages and kings, and why the sea is boiling hot, and whether pigs have wings. Calloo, callay, come run away, where the cabbages and the kings.
Playing his cane like a flute, the walrus turns around. Smiling, the baby oysters hop out of their shells and follow him. They have tiny pink bodies and wear the tops of their shells above their heads like little bonnets. Bouncing and dancing, they follow the fat walrus onto the beach. The carpenter scoops up some driftwood, old tires, and other flotsam and jetsam. Hammering and sawing like crazy, he builds a restaurant and tacks up a sign over the door that reads, Fish Dinners. The walrus and the oysters march inside. Later, they all sit around a table. The walrus tucks a napkin around his neck.
Well, now, let me see.
The carpenter drools at the baby oysters.
Ah, a loaf of bread is what we chiefly need.
The carpenter bolts into the kitchen. The walrus picks up an oyster.
Listen, how about some pepper and salt and vinegar, eh?
The walrus hides behind a menu.
Splendid idea. Very good indeed.
The carpenter disappears.
Now, if you're ready, oysters, dear, we can begin the feed.
Feed?
Oh, yes.
He gathers them in his arms.
My little friends, to talk of food and things. Of peppercorns and mustard seed and other seasonings. We'll mix them all together in a sauce that's fit for kings. Calloo, callay, we'll eat today like cabbages and kings.
The carpenter carries out the bread and sauce to an empty table.
I weep for you. I deeply sympathize.
He rubs his belly.
I've enjoyed your company, much more than you realize.
Little oysters, little oysters. But answer there came none. And this was scarcely odd, because
they'd been eaten. Everyone.
We see a pile of empty shells. The carpenter bares his teeth. His face turns bright red.
The time has come!
A walrus crashes through the door. The carpenter chases him off the beach, swinging his hammer. Above them, we see Tweedledee and Tweedledum's faces in the sun and moon.
We're cabbages and beans!
The end.
That was a very sad story.
And there's a moral to it.
Oh, yes, a very good moral. If you happen to be an oyster, well, it's been a very nice visit.
Another recitation.
I'm sorry,
entitled but... Father William.
But really, I'm...
First verse. You are old Father William, the young man said, and your hair has become very white. And yet you incessantly stand on your head. Do you think at your age it is right? It's right. Do you think at your age it is right?
Tweedledum stands on his head, holding Tweedledee upside down in his hand. They continue bouncing up and down as Alice carefully sneaks away. Later, she comes out of the forest to a pink-striped house with a straw roof.
Now, I wonder who lives here.
A second-floor window opens.
Mary Ann! Let that girl. Where could she put them? Mary Ann!
The rabbit!
Mary Ann!
He runs out of the house carrying a trumpet.
No, you can't wait. I'm awfully late. Oh, me, oh, my, oh, me, oh, my.
Excuse me, sir, but I've been trying to...
Why, Mary Ann! What are you doing out here?
Mary Ann!
Don't just do something. Stand there. No, no. Go, go. Go get my gloves. I'm late.
But late for what? That's just what I...
My gloves! At once! Do you hear?
Oh, goodness. I suppose I'll be taking orders from Dinah next.
She walks upstairs.
Hmm. Now, let me see. If I were a rabbit, where would I keep my gloves?
She opens a cookie jar.
Thank you. Don't mind if I do.
She bites a cookie marked Eat Me. Mm-hmm. Immediately, her body sprouts up. Her head hits the ceiling.
Oh, no, no, not again.
The rabbit checks his watch.
Oh, Mary Ann!
He runs upstairs and opens the door to his room. Alice's huge foot squeezes through the door. Still growing, Alice's shoe smacks him and drives him outside. He turns to see Alice's arms and legs sticking out of his house.
No! Help! Monster! Help! Assistance!
Alice tries to pull the house off her head and shoulders.
Dear.
A monster, Dodo, in my house, Dodo.
Dodo.
Oh, my poor little bitty house.
Steady, steady, old chap. Can't be as bad as all that, you know.
Oh, my poor roof and rafters. Oh, my walls. And there it is.
Alice opens a window. Her huge face looks out.
Jolly well is, isn't it?
Well, don't you think, Dodo?
Yes, indeed. An extraordinary situation, but...
But what?
Dodo blows his nose.
But I have a very simple solution.
Thank goodness.
What is it?
Simply pull it out the chimney.
Yes, go on, pull it out.
Who, me? Don't be ridiculous. What we need is a...
A skinny green lizard walks by.
A lizard with a ladder.
Hmm? Oh, Bill. We need a lizard with a ladder. Can you help us?
At your service, Governor.
Bill, my lad, have you ever been down a chimney?
Why, Governor... I've been down more chimneys.
Excellent, excellent. You just pop down the chimney and haul that monster out of there.
Righto, Governor. Monster!
Bill, the lizard, sees Alice's eye in the window and scoots away. Dodo and the rabbit grab his tail. Dodo carries him back up the ladder.
That's better. Bill, lad, you're passing up a golden opportunity.
I am?
You can be famous.
I can?
Of course. There's a brave lad. In you go now. Nothing to it, old boy. Simply tie your tail around the monster's neck and drag it out.
But, Governor!
Good luck, Bill.
Dodo stuffs him down the chimney. A cloud of soot surrounds Alice's face. The house quakes. Bill, covered in black dust, shoots into the sky.
Well, there goes Bill.
Poor Bill.
Perhaps we should try a more energetic remedy.
Yes, anything, but hurry.
No, I propose that we,
He starts to light his pipe.
Yes, go on, yes.
I propose that we, do...
The match burns his finger.
By Jove, that's it. We'll burn the house down.
Yes, burn the house. What?
No.
Oh, we'll smoke the blighter out. We'll put the beaster out. Some kidding, just a stick or two. All this bit of rubbish ought to do.
He smashes a grandfather clock and piles
we'll
furniture under the house.
We'll smoke the monster out.
No, no, not my beautiful birdhouse.
Dodo snaps the birdhouse in two. The white rabbit misses it and runs into his front gate.
The bounder's nose. Just fetch that gate. We'll make it clear that monsters aren't welcome here.
Oh, my.
A match?
Match?
Thank God.
He strikes the match on the rabbit's nose.
A single note. We'll smoke the monster out.
We'll smoke the monster out. No, my poor house and furniture.
Oh, dear. This is serious. I simply must... Oh, a god. Perhaps if I ate something, it would...
Alice pulls a carrot from the garden. The rabbit holds on to it.
Let go! Help!
I'm sorry, but I must eat something.
Not me. You barbarian.
Alice bites the carrot. The rabbit sees his empty shirt sleeve, thinking she has bitten off his arm. Alice shrinks to 2 inches tall.
Ah, I'm late! Oh, dear, I'm here. I should be there. I'm late.
I say, do you have a man?
Oh, no. Must go. Goodbye. Hello. I'm late.
Wait! Please wait!
Young lady, do you have a match?
No, I'm sorry, but Mr. Rabbit!
No cooperation at all. Well, can't have monsters about. Jolly well have to carry on alone.
The white rabbit hops over a flower bed. Alice walks under the shade of the giant flowers.
Wait! Please! Just a minute!
I'll never catch him while I'm this small.
Butterflies with slices of bread for wings.
Curious butterflies.
You mean bread and butterflies?
Oh, yes, of course. Now, who do you suppose?
She sees lilies, sweet peas, and a tall red rose.
Horsefly. I mean a rocking horsefly.
Naturally.
I beg your pardon, but...
She points at the rose.
That's nonsense. Flowers can't talk.
But of course we can talk, my dear.
If there's anyone worth talking to.
Or about.
And we sing, too.
You do?
Oh, yes. Would you like to hear Tell It to the Tulip?
No, let's sing about us.
We know one about the shy little violet.
Oh, no, not that old thing.
Let's do Lovely Lily of the Valley.
How about a daisy?
Oh, she wouldn't like that.
I want to. We shall sing Golden Afternoon. That's about all of us.
Alice sits on a leaf.
Sound your A, Lily.
La. Pansies.
La, 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 la.
A daisy. A purple iris.
Boom, boom, boom.
Chrysanthemums with shaggy faces. The rose conducts the group as the bread and butterflies break out of their loaf and fly away.
Little bread and butterflies kiss the tulips, and the sun is like a toy balloon. There are gifts up in the morning glories.
Two deep blue flowers stand up straight and yawn.
There are dusty daffodils on the hillside. Strings of violets are all in tune. Tiger lilies love the dandelion.
A daisy lies in a hammock made of a spider's web. Alice yawns.
You can learn a lot of things from the flowers, for especially in the month of June.
There's a wealth of happiness and promise.
A pretty white rose. The smiling daisy rings a bunch of bell-shaped lilies of the valley. Golden trumpet flowers step forward. The iris plucks a jack in the pulpit shaped like a harp. The rose whispers to the bread and butterflies. They flutter around Alice, latch onto her skirt, and pull her in front of the bright-eyed blue, orange, and purple pansies.
Bye.
red rose stops Alice. The white rose takes the high note. A pink flower beats some thistle drums. Two black-eyed Susans crash their heads together.
Oh, that was lovely.
Thank you, my dear. What kind of garden do you come from?
Oh, I don't come from any garden.
Do you suppose she's a wildflower?
Oh, no. I'm not a wildflower.
Just what species, or shall we say genus, are you, my dear?
Well, I suppose you call me a genus, humanus, Alice.
Ever see an Alice with a blossom like that?
Come to think of it, did you ever see an Alice?
Yes. And did you notice her petals? What a peculiar color.
And no fragrance.
Just look at those stems.
Rather scrawny, I'd say.
I think she's pretty.
Quiet, bud.
But I'm not a flower.
Aha, just as I suspected. She's nothing but a common mobile vulgaris.
Oh, no!
A common what?
To put it bluntly, a weed.
I'm not a weed.
Well, you wouldn't expect her to admit it.
Can you imagine?
Well, goodness!
Don't let her stay here and go to seed.
Go on, Dad, won't you take root?
Please, girl.
We don't want weeds in our bed.
A huge leaf pushes Alice out of the garden. Tiger lilies and dandelions swipe at her with their claws.
All right, if that's the way you feel about it. If I were my right size, I could pick every one of you if I wanted to. And I guess that'd teach you.
Two daffodils pour water on her. Alice floats away on a leaf.
You can learn a lot of things from the flowers. Seems to me they could learn a few things about manners.
She wrings out her soaking dress, then looks up with wide eyes. In the sky, vowels made of smoke float in a silky stream. Alice pokes her head through a patch of grass and sees a blue caterpillar sitting on a mushroom. Alice walks up to him. He smokes a pipe with a long, thin tube connected to an urn. Each time he speaks, a different colored smoke letter floats out of his mouth. The caterpillar has 12 hands and feet. He takes another puff, then spots Alice.
Who are you?
I hardly know, sir. I've changed so many times since this morning, you see.
I do not see.
A sea tumbles out.
Explain yourself.
I'm afraid I can't explain myself, sir, because I'm not myself, you know.
I do not know.
Well, I can't put it any more clearly, for it isn't clear to me.
You? Who are you?
Well, don't you think you ought to tell me...
The you dissolves around her neck.
You are first.
Why?
He blows a bright orange why.
Oh, dear. Everything is so confusing.
It is not.
Well, it is to me.
Why?
Well, I can't remember things as I used to, and...
Recite.
Oh, yes, sir.
She curtsies.
How doth the little busy bee improve each...
Stop! That is not spoken correctly. It goes...
He blows a skimpy green O.
Oh.
Looking down, he sees two of his hands bending the pipe tube. He slaps them, and they let go. He frowns at Alice.
How doth the little crocodile improve his shining tail and pour the waters of the Nile on every golden scale?
Musical notes appear.
How cheer...
Two of his legs wiggle in the air. He grabs them and plops them down. He gives Alice a grumpy look.
How cheerfully he seems to grin. How neatly spreads his claws. And welcomes little fishes in with gently smiling jaws.
Well, I must say, I've never heard it that way before.
I know. I have improved it.
Well, if you ask me...
You?
you.
The letters wrap around Alice's head. She falls off a toadstool. A tiny pink O shoots out of her mouth. A bit of pink smoke sticks to her shoe. Alice kicks it off and stomps angrily away.
You there? Girl, wait! Come back! I have something important to say.
Oh, dear. I wonder what he wants now.
She fights her way through the thick leaves and grasses. The caterpillar lies upside down, blowing blue rings. Alice approaches him and folds her arms.
Well?
Keep your temper.
Is that all?
No.
He bends over backwards.
Exactly, what is your problem?
Well, it's it's precisely this. I should like to be a little larger, sir.
Why?
Well, after all, 3 inches is such a wretched height, and
I am exactly 3 inches high, and it is a very good height indeed.
He turns bright red and disappears in a cloud of smoke.
I'm not used to it, and you need shut!
She blows away the smoke. The caterpillar is gone.
Oh, dear.
By the way, I have a few more helpful hints. One side will make you grow taller.
One side of what?
And the other side will make you grow shorter.
The other side of what?
A mushroom, of course!
Now a bright pink butterfly, he flutters away.
Hmm.
Alice takes a piece from each side of the mushroom she's sitting on.
One side will make me grow... But which is which? Hmm. After all that's happened, I wonder if I don't care.
She bites the piece in her right hand.
I'm tired of being only 3 inches high. Yah.
Alice grows and stretches upward. Her head bursts through the treetops. On her head, a mother bird looks down out of her nest at Alice's tall, skinny body.
A serpent! Help! Help! Serpent! Serpent!
Oh, but please, please!
Both of you, shoo! Go away, serpent! Serpent!
But I'm not a serpent!
The bird lands on her nose.
Then just what are you?
I'm just a little girl.
Little? Little?
Well, I am. I mean, I was.
And I suppose you don't eat eggs either.
Yes, I do.
I knew it. Serpent. Serpent.
Oh, for goodness sake.
She holds up the other piece of the mushroom.
And the other side will...
The very idea. Spend all my time laying eggs for serpents like us.
Alice bites the mushroom and shrinks down. The mother bird tries to catch her eggs, falling all around her. She catches the last one with her foot.
I wonder if I'll ever get the knack of it.
She holds her hand above her head, licks the side of the mushroom, and grows up to her proper height.
There, that's much better. Better save these.
She puts the mushroom pieces in her pockets and walks on.
Now let's see. Where was I?
She finds a red tree with signs pointed in every direction.
I wonder which way I ought to go.
The brilliant and the slimy toads did Kyle and Kimbell in the way.
The forest lights up around her, flashing red, blue, and purple.
And the more grass out of gray.
Now, where in the world do you suppose that...
Lonesome...
Oh! Well,
A wide, grinning smile floats above a tree limb.
No, I was just wondering...
Oh, that's quite all right. One moment, please.
Two googly yellow eyes appear, then the body of a fat, striped cat.
Second chorus. It was brilliant, and the slithy toves did the gyre and the Kimbell in the way.
Why, you're a cat.
A Cheshire cat, all a mimsy, o'er the border goes.
Oh, wait, don't go, please.
Very well. Third chorus.
Oh, no, thank you, but I just wanted to ask you which way I ought to go.
Well, that depends on where you want to get to.
Oh, it really doesn't matter. As long as I can...
Then it really doesn't matter which way you go.
He does a floating swan dive and disappears. Paw prints appear on the pink path around Alice. Then the cat jumps up in a tree and rematerializes.
Oh, by the way, if you'd really like to know, he went that way.
Who did?
The white rabbit.
He did?
He did what?
Went that way.
Who did?
The white rabbit.
What rabbit?
But didn't you just say, oh, dear.
Can you stand on your head?
He takes off his head and stands on it.
However, if I were looking for a white rabbit, I'd ask the Mad Hatter.
The Mad Hatter? No, I don't...
Or there's the March Hare in that direction.
Thank you. I think I should visit him.
Of course. He's mad, too.
But I don't want to go among mad people.
Oh, you can't help that. Most everyone's mad here. You may have noticed that I'm not all there myself.
His stripes and googly yellow eyes disappear, leaving his grin hanging in the air.
Goodness. If the people here are like that, I must try not to upset them.
She walks down a pathway.
How very curious.
Alice enters the backyard of a ramshackle house where a brown hare and a man wearing a large green top hat drink tea. Teapots dance on the long, thin table. A cloud of steam rises from their spouts. Alice can't see through the cloud, so she ducks under it, close to the table. She watches the March Hare and the Mad Hatter clink teacups, pour tea down each other's throats, and spill it everywhere.
Merry at birthday to me.
To who?
To me.
Oh, you?
A very merry at birthday to you.
Who, me?
Yes, you.
Oh, me?
Let's all congratulate us with another cup of tea. A very merry and a birthday to who?
The hare pulls a sleepy-looking mouse out of a teapot. The Hatter and the Hare notice Alice.
No room, no room, no room, no room, no room, no room, no room. No room.
But I thought there was plenty of room.
Ah, but it's very rude to sit down without being invited.
I'll say it's rude. It's very, very rude indeed.
Very, very, very rude indeed.
The mouse goes to sleep.
Sorry, but I did enjoy your singing, and I wondered if you could tell me...
You enjoyed our singing?
Oh, what a delightful time.
The Hatter sticks his elbow in a teacup.
I'm so excited. We never get compliments. You must have a cup of tea.
Ah, yes, indeed, the tea. You must have a cup of tea.
That would be very nice. I'm sorry I interrupted your birthday party. Thank you.
Birthday? My dear child, this is not a birthday party.
The Mad Hatter pours tea down his sleeve.
This is an unbirthday party.
Unbirthday? Well, I'm sorry, but I don't quite understand.
It's very simple. Now, 30 days have set... No.
The hare scratches his head with his ear.
An unbirthday, if you have a birthday, then you... She doesn't know what an unbirthday is.
How silly!
Tea bubbles float out of the Hatter's mouth.
Ah, chalilucidate.
The hare picks up a spoon and conducts the teapots.
Now, statistics prove that you've won... Birthday.
Imagine, just one birthday every year.
Ah, but there are 364 unbirthdays.
Precisely why we're gathered here to cheer.
Why, then today is my unbirthday, too.
It is?
What a small world this is.
In that case, a very, very unbirthday.
To me?
To you.
Under his hat is a triple-decker cake with pink icing.
To me?
For you.
Now blow the candle out, my dear, and make your wish come true.
The cake becomes a firework and shoots into the sky.
A very, very unbirthday to you.
A sleepy mouse appears in the sparkles.
Twinkle, twinkle, little bat. How I wonder what you're at.
up above the world you fly, like a tea tray in the sky.
He floats into a teapot.
Oh, that was lovely.
And now, my dear, you were saying...
He dips a plate into his teacup and munches on it.
You were seeking some information of some kind?
Oh, yes. You see, I'm looking for a...
Clean cup, move down!
But I haven't used my cup.
Clean cup, move down, clean cup, move down. Would you like a little more tea?
Well, I haven't had any yet, so I can't very well take more.
Ah, you mean you can't very well take less?
Yes. You can always take more than nothing.
He covers her teacup in a mound of sugar.
And now, my dear, something seems to be troubling you. Won't you tell us all about it?
Start at the beginning.
Yes. And when you come to the end, stop. See?
Well, it all started while I was sitting on the riverbank with Dinah.
Very interesting. Who's Dinah?
Why, Dinah's my cat. You see...
The mouse jumps out of his teapot. The Hare and Hatter chase him around the table, smashing pots and cups everywhere. Alice paints the mouse's nose with strawberry jam. He goes back to sleep in his teapot.
Oh, my goodness. Those are the things that upset me.
See how the trouble you've started?
Really, I didn't think that.
Ah, but that's the point. If you don't think, you shouldn't talk.
Clean cup. Move down.
But I still haven't used...
They drag Alice to the far end of the table.
And now, my dear, as you were saying...
Oh, yes. I was sitting on the riverbank with you know who.
I do.
I mean my C-A-T.
Tea?
Just half a cup if you don't mind.
The Hare cuts a cup in half and the Hatter fills it up.
Come, my dear. Don't you care for tea?
Why, yes, I'm very fond of tea.
But... If you don't care for tea, you could at least make polite conversation.
Well, I've been trying to ask you.
I have an excellent idea. Let's change the subject.
He hammers the Hatter's head.
Why is a raven like a writing desk?
Riddles? Let me see now. Why is a raven like a writing desk?
I beg your pardon.
Why is a raven like a writing desk?
Why is a what?
Devil, she's stark raven mad.
But it's your silly riddle. You just said...
Silly, don't get excited.
How about a nice cup of tea?
Have a cup of tea indeed. Well, I'm sorry, but I just haven't the time.
The time! Who's got the time?
No. No time. Hello, goodbye. I'm late.
The white rabbit!
Oh, I'm so late. I'm so very, very late.
Well, no wonder you're late. Why, this clock is exactly 2 days slow.
2 days slow? Of
course you're late.
He dunks the watch in a teapot, then slaps it on the table.
We'll have to look into this. Aha! I see what's wrong with it. Why, this watch is full of wheels.
The Hatter spills salt into the watch. He picks it apart with a fork and throws the parts away.
But,
butter, of course, it needs some butter. Butter, oh, thank you, butter.
He spreads butter into the watch.
Oh, no, you'll get crumbs in it.
Oh, this is the very best butter. What are you talking about?
Tea?
Oh, I never thought of tea, of course.
No.
He pours tea over the butter.
Sugar, 2 spoons, just 2 spoons, thank you, yes.
He crams the spoons into the watch.
Jam,
I forgot all about jam. No. Just show you what a place to do.
Mustard?
Don't let's be silly. Lemon, that's different.
He squeezes lemon onto the jam.
That should do it.
The watch starts to spin, rattle, and hop.
Look at that!
Bad watch! Oh, look!
You think
the people...
Oh, my goodness!
There's only one way to stop a bad watch!
The Hare smacks it with his hammer.
2 days slow, that's what it is.
Oh, my watch.
It was.
And it was an unbirthday present, too.
Well, in that case, a very, very unbirthday to you.
They throw the white rabbit out of the yard.
Oh, Mr. Rabbit! Oh, now
where did he go to?
The Hatter and the Hare are starting the tea party all over again.
All this silly nonsense. This is the stupidest tea party I've ever been to in all my life.
She walks back into the forest.
Well, I've had enough nonsense. I'm going home. Straight home. That rabbit. Who cares where he's going anyway? Well, if it hadn't been for him, I... told you would.
She reads a sign on a tree trunk.
Curious. I don't remember this.
A dozen pairs of eyes stare at her from the dark wood.
Now, let me see.
A pair of glasses with a carrot nose hops onto her face.
Oh!
Alice sees herself in a mirror-headed bird.
No, please. No more nonsense.
She puts the glasses next to the mirror bird and walks away.
Now, if I came this way, I should go back this way. Oh, I beg your pardon.
She steps on a purple horn with duck's feet. It collects a group of baby horns and shoos them into a pond. On lily pads, two frogs shaped like a drum and cymbal. They hop over each other from pad to pad.
Goodness. When I get home, I shall write a book about this place. If I ever do get home.
She peeks over a big log and sees a flock of birds bathing under a waterfall. The birds have black umbrellas instead of wings.
Could one of you tell me...
They flap their umbrellas, fly to a branch, hunch over like vultures and glare at Alice.
Never mind.
She turns and walks further into the darkening wood.
Oh, dear, it's getting dreadfully dark. Nothing looks familiar.
She looks down. At the foot of a tree, a green bird digs holes in the ground with a beak shaped like a shovel.
I'd be glad to get out of... Oh!
She bumps into a wingless bird with a bird cage for a body. Two little canaries escape from the cage. The bigger bird runs after them, catches them in its beak, and swallows. The canaries land back in their cage. An owl with a stretchy accordion neck flies over Alice's head.
It would be so nice if something would make sense for a change.
Nearby, purple birds with hammerheads nail up signs to a tree.
Oh!
Pencil-beaked birds follow them and write on the signs.
Don't step on the mole rats. The mole rats?
At her feet, a bunch of flowers with fluffy heads stand up on pajama legs. They run together in the shape of an arrow, pointing to a path.
A path! Oh, thank goodness! Oh, I just knew I'd find one sooner or later. If I hurry, perhaps I might even be home in time for tea. Oh, won't Dinah be happy to see me?
She runs through the woods.
Oh, I just can't wait till I...
A dog approaches her. He erases the red-colored path by sweeping it with his broom-shaped face and tail. He walks around Alice and sweeps the path behind her, leaving her on a lonely patch of red.
Oh, dear. Now I shall never get out. Well, when one's lost, I suppose it's good advice to stay where you are until someone finds you. But who'd ever think to look for me here?
She sits down on a rock.
Good advice. If I'd listened earlier, I wouldn't be here. But that's just the trouble with me. I give myself very good advice, but I very seldom follow it.
The umbrella birds watch her from the trees.
That explains the
trouble that I'm always in.
The shufflebirds and the mome rats gather around.
Be patient is very good advice, but the waiting makes me curious, and I'd love the change should something strange begin.
The hornbirds huddle with their mother.
Well, I went along my merry way, and I never stopped to reason. I should have known there'd be a price to pay. Someday.
The umbrella vultures and pencil birds start to cry.
I give myself very good advice, but I very seldom follow it. Will I ever learn to do the things I should?
Tears from the hammer, horn, and shovel birds splash on the ground. One by one, the weeping birds fade away, leaving Alice alone in the dark glade under a faint crescent moon. The moon turns sideways into a sly, toothy grin.
And the mole rats outgrabe.
Oh, Cheshire Cat, it's you.
Did you expect the white rabbit, perchance?
Oh, no. I'm through with rabbits. I want to go home. But I can't find my way.
Naturally, that's because you have no way. Always here, you see, are the queer's ways.
But I've never met any queen.
You haven't. You have bumped. Oh, but you must. She'll be mad about you. Simply mad. And the warmer's out of grace.
Please. How can I find her?
Well, some go this way. Some go that way. But as for me, myself, personally, I prefer the short cut.
Oh!
The cat pulls on a branch, then disappears. A door opens in the middle of a tree. Alice walks through it and into a bright, sunny day. She finds herself in the middle of a maze of green hedges. A splotch of red paint flies over one of the hedges. Alice comes to a door and sees three men painting white rose bushes red. They have the thin, flat bodies of playing cards, the ace, two, and three of clubs.
Painting the roses red, and many a tear we shed,
because we know they'll cease to grow.
In fact, they'll soon be dead.
Oh, and yet we go ahead, painting the roses red.
Alice walks up to them. Red paint splashes all around, but doesn't stick to her.
Roses red. We're painting the roses red.
Oh, pardon me, but Mr. Three, why must you paint them red?
Huh? Oh!
Well, the fact is, miss, we planted the white roses by mistake. And
the queen, she likes them red. If she saw white instead,
she'd raise a fuss,
and each of us would quickly lose his head.
Goodness!
Since this is a part we dread, we're painting the roses red.
Oh, dear. Then let me help you. Painting the roses red.
We're painting the roses red. Go tell the queen what you have seen, or say that's what we said. But we're painting the roses red.
Yes. The rose is red.
Not pink.
Not green.
Not aquamarine.
We're painting the roses red.
An army of playing cards marches out from a castle.
The queen!
The painter cards scatter in a shower of red paint. The ace spins around with a bucket over his head, then all of them lie flat on the ground. Alice lies between the two and the three, a paintbrush still in her hand. The army marches into the garden maze, huge soldiers with red and black boots carrying lances. On the top of each lance is a heart, club, spade, or diamond. Alice looks up. Their huge shadows flicker on her face as they march by. They do fancy sidesteps and arrange themselves in circling rows like spokes on a wheel. see the heart soldiers form a spiral. They compress themselves into one small marching deck. The deck splits into two, one orange, one yellow. The cards split again and again into groups of green, blue, lavender, and pink. Then they jump into a heart shape surrounding Alice and the three clubs. Pokes the rabbit.
And a king.
Hooray!
The queen marches toward a rose bush. She has a huge body, beady black eyes, and a jaw like a gorilla. Scowling, she scoops red paint off a rose.
Who's been painting my roses red? Who's been painting my roses red?
She rips the bush out of the ground.
To paint with vulgar paint the royal flower bed. Painting my roses red! Someone will lose his head.
Oh, no, Your Majesty, please, it's all his fault.
Not me, Your Grace. The ace.
You?
No, two.
The deuce, you say?
Not me, the tray.
That's enough. Off with their heads.
The queen smiles and flutters her eyebrows.
They're going to lose their heads for painting the roses red.
The soldiers drag the painters away.
The roses should be red. Oh, they're going to lose their heads.
Silence!
All the cards fall down.
Oh, please, please. They were only trying...
And who is this?
The tiny king comes out.
Let
me see, my dear. It certainly isn't a heart. Do you suppose it's a club?
Why, it's a little girl.
Yes, and I was hoping...
Look up. Speak nicely. And don't twiggle your fingers. Turn out your toes. Curtsy. Open your mouth a little wider. And always say, yes, Your Majesty.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Now, where do you come from and where are you going?
Well, I'm trying to find my way home.
Your way? Always here on my way.
She blows Alice down.
Yes, I know, but I was just thinking.
Curtsy while you're thinking. It saves time.
Yes, Your Majesty, but I was only going to ask...
I'll ask the questions. Do you play croquet?
Why, yes, Your Majesty.
Then let the game begin!
The heart soldiers jump onto a field and bend upward, forming croquet wickets. The white rabbit brings a bag of long-necked birds to use as mallets. The queen takes out two birds for practice swings. One she tosses away. The other she grips by the neck, yanks it to make it straight, and shakes it. The white rabbit puts down a yawning hedgehog in front of the queen. As she prepares to hit it, the hedgehog rolls itself into a croquet ball. Alice takes two birds out of the bag. They almost lift her off the ground. The queen scowls. Alice clamps her hand over the bird's mouth. The queen adjusts her corset and knocks her bird on the ground. The hedgehog winces as she starts her swing. The queen misses, spinning around and around, but the king scampers up to the hedgehog and pushes it. The hedgehog runs through the wickets. Each card soldier jumps in front of it to make sure it goes through. Tumbling end over end, the hedgehog finishes the course. The queen smiles coyly, bows, and flutters her fingers at the crowd. Alice claps reluctantly. The queen flounces up to the hedgehog for another shot. She holds up the bird to the crowd, then taps its head on the playing field. The bird and the hedgehog grin at each other as the queen swings. She misses again. The hedgehog rolls through all the wickets but one. A soldier, too late, tries to get in front of the hedgehog but falls and skids to a stop.
Off with his head!
Off with his head!
off with his head by order of the king. You heard what she said.
You're next.
Oh, but...
my dear.
Hellas curtsies.
Yes, your majesty.
The queen makes a chair out of her bird and sits her fat rump on it. Alice starts to swing, but her bird goes limp. The queen smiles. As Alice swings again, the bird stands up straight and lifts her off the ground. The bird tickles Alice with its feet.
Do you want us both to lose our heads? Well, I don't.
She wrestles with the pink bird. It tries to fly away, then grabs Alice by the feet and starts to use her as a mallet. Alice smiles sweetly and wiggles her finger. The bird leans down close to her. Alice grabs its neck, stands up, and hits the hedgehog. It rolls straight toward the wickets, but the soldiers curl up or lie flat to make it miss them. The hedgehog hits a tree. The queen smiles. Alice pouts, then notices a striped tail growing out of the queen's skirt. The Cheshire Cat appears.
La la la. I say, how are you getting on?
Not at all.
Beg pardon?
I said not at all.
Who are you talking to?
Oh, a cat, your majesty.
Cat? Where?
There.
The cat sticks out its tongue, then disappears.
Again.
I warn you, child. If I lose my temper, you lose your head. Understand?
She turns around.
You know, we could make her really angry. Shall we try?
Oh, no, no.
Oh, but it's loads of fun.
No, no, no.
The cat attaches the bird to the queen's skirt. She swings and turns herself over, exposing her bloomers covered with red hearts.
Oh, dear. Save the queen.
Someone's head will roll for this. Yours!
She points at Alice.
Off with her!
But consider, my dear, couldn't she have a trial?
First...
trial?
Well, just a little trial.
She pats the king's head.
Very well, then. Let the trial begin!
Later, in the palace courtroom, the queen sits on a throne 30 feet high, glaring down at Alice.
Your Majesty, members of the jury, loyal subjects,
and the king.
The prisoner at the bar is charged with enticing Her Majesty, the Queen of Hearts, into a game of croquet, and thereby willfully and with malice aforethought, teasing, tormenting, and otherwise annoying our beloved...
Never mind all that. Get to the part, for I lose my temper.
Thereby causing the Queen to lose her temper.
Now, are you ready for your sentence?
Sentence? But there must be a verdict first.
Sentence first. Verdict afterwards.
But that just isn't the way.
Always on.
Your ways, your majesty.
Yes, my child. Off with her!
Consider, my dear, we've called no witnesses. Couldn't we hear maybe one or two? Huh? Maybe?
Oh, very well. But get on with it!
First witness. Harold, call the first witness.
Come on, chair.
The hare sips a cup of tea. Two spades throw him into the witness box by his ears.
What do you know about this unfortunate affair?
Nothing. Nothing whatever. Nothing whatever. That's very important. Jury, write that down.
The jury animals write the words very, whatever, and nothing.
Unimportant, your majesty means, of course.
Silence! Next witness.
The Dormouse.
The two spades carry a teapot to the stand. The queen rips the cover off it.
Well, what have you to say about this?
Twinkle, twinkle, little bat. How I wonder...
That's the most important piece of evidence we've heard yet. Write that down!
The fish, lobster, and parrot start writing.
Twinkle, twinkle. What next?
The Mad Hatter.
The two spades poke the hatter's bottom with their lances.
Oh. Off with your hat!
Under his hat, a pot and teacup.
Where were you when this horrible crime was committed?
I was home drinking tea. Today, you know, is
My unbirthday.
Why, my dear, today is your unbirthday, too.
It is.
It is.
It is. A very merry unbirthday.
To me.
To you. A very merry unbirthday.
For me.
For you.
Now blow the candle out, my dear, and make your wish come true.
The birthday cake explodes and changes into a purple crown. The queen puts it on her head, where it turns into the Cheshire Cat. The cat grins and waves at Alice.
Dear.
Look, there he is now.
Huh? What? Who?
The Cheshire Cat.
Cat!
Cat! Cat!
The Hare and the Hatter chase the Dormouse up the Queen's stomach and over her face. A big blue curtain falls down and covers the Queen.
Somebody help me! Catch him! The jam! The jam!
The jam! The jam!
The Hare throws a spoonful of strawberry jam.
Let me have it!
It hits the Queen in the face. The King hits her with a mallet. She glares at Alice.
Aha!
The mushroom.
Off with her!
Alice eats both mushroom pieces and grows 100 feet high. The card soldiers poke at her anchors.
Oh, cool. I'm not afraid of you. Why, you're nothing but a pack of cards.
She tosses a few in the air.
Rule 42. All persons more than a mile high must leave the court immediately.
I am not a mile high. And I'm not leaving.
Sorry. Rule 42, you know.
And as for you, Your Majesty. Your Majesty, indeed. Why, you're not a queen, but just a fat, pompous, bad-tempered old tyrant.
Ella shrinks back down.
And, what were you saying, my dear?
Well, she simply said that you're a fat, pompous, bad-tempered old tyrant.
Up with her head!
The Cheshire Cat disappears. Alice runs out of the palace. The King chases after her. The White Rabbit and a whole line of card soldiers trample over the King. They chase Alice into the garden maze. Hearts and diamonds chase her in one direction, spades and clubs in another. Alice and the Queen knock over the same row of spades from different sides, forming a bridge. Alice slides down one side of the bridge and finds herself transported back to the Dodo's Rock, running in a circle. She runs past Tweedledee and Dum, the oysters and the walrus.
Off with her head! Off with her head!
Now at the tea table.
Just a moment. You can't leave a tea party without having a cup of tea, you know.
But I can't stop now.
But we insist. You must join us in a cup of tea.
The Hare and the Hatter pull her into a giant cup. Alice swims to the surface.
Off with her head!
Mr. Caterpillar, what will I do?
Who are you?
Alice runs into a row of purple smoke rings.
Don't let her get away!
Floating in the smoky air, Alice reaches for the doorknob's nose and yanks it.
Oh! Still lost, you know.
But the Queen! I simply must get out!
But you are outside.
What?
See for yourself.
She looks through his mouth.
Why, that's me! I'm asleep!
Don't let her get away!
Alice pounds on the door. The Queen and her gang rush toward her, then burst into a mishmash of colors.
Please wake up, Alice! 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 Alice!
Alice! Alice! Will you kindly pay attention and recite your lesson?
Alice wakes up under the tree.
Oh, how doth the little crocodile improve his shining tail and pour the waters off the...
Alice, what are you talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry, but you see, the caterpillar said...
Caterpillar? Oh, for goodness sake. Alice, I... Oh, well, come along, it's time for tea.
Scoops Dinah into her arms. She follows her sister over a grassy hillside scattered with daisies, past the glittering blue waters of the pond. The scene fades to black. Now, two card soldiers hold a banner reading The End, a Walt Disney production, copyright 1951. credits roll, Catherine Beaumont as the voice of Alice, Ed Wynn as the Mad Hatter, Richard Hayden as the Caterpillar, Sterling Holloway as the Cheshire Cat, Jerry Colonna as the March Hare, Verna Felton as the Queen of Hearts, Pat O'Malley as the Walrus, Carpenter, Dee, and Dumb, Bill Thompson as the White Rabbit and Dodo, Heather Angel as Alice's sister, Joseph Kearns as the Doorknob, Larry Gray as Bill, Queenie Leonard as the Bird in the Tree, Dink Trout as the King of Hearts, Doris Lloyd as the Rose, James McDonald as the Dormouse. Described for visually impaired audiences by Descriptive Video Service, WGBH Educational Foundation. Descriptions read by Lindsay Ellison.